Welcome to Catholic Sports View, a look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here's your host, Bob Gibson.
Thank you again for tuning in to Catholic Sports View, the podcast of record for the Trinity League, as always brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Orange. Glad you tuned in because we're getting through the spring season, right? And there's so much more to go. There's so many more sports and people to talk with. Even though it seems like that school year is kind of getting up to the end here, man, we got a long way to go in this spring sports season. And we're going to turn our focus this week on track and field. All the great athletes in the track and field community that have come through the Trinity League, so many of them, and many of them come through Santa Margarita Catholic High School. And that's where Mike Powers is the head coach. And that's what we're going to talk to this week. Had a chance to talk to Coach and interesting conversation. We talked about some athletes don't start out as track athletes. They come from other sports and then they find out, hey, I can do things within the track and field world. So I thought that was really interesting. And, we start out right at the top of the interview talking about, some of these things and how track and field it just really is a fascinating sport here, and especially in the Trinity League, where so many great athletes, as I mentioned, sort of migrate into this track and field world. And, certainly the sprinters and the distance and the field events, there's so many great, and I said it right at the top, you'll hear it with Coach. I told him, every time I get into social media, there's Santa Margarita, track athletes doing something good. So without wasting any more time, let's get right into the interview with Mike Powers, the head track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic. Let's say hi to Mike Powers. He is the head track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Coach, thanks for taking some time to join us here in Catholic Sports View.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, every time I see a post on social media, track and field, there's always a Santa Margarita athlete at the top of the list this year. It seems uncanny. And in a variety of events across track and field, both. This has got to be such a fun season, so far even to this point for you guys. I know it's far from over, but this has got to be a lot of fun so far for you.
Yeah, I know. One of our, we have at least on some of our sides, we have some graduating seniors that have been pretty talented and have spent the last 4 years doing a lot of really cool stuff. So, one of the things we kind of wanted to start off, at least with, for example, some of our distance guys, they're all graduating, and we wanted to sort of start the season off with a bang so we can kind of get some of those early season marks out of the way so that we can kind of establish those marks and then kind of take a little bit of time to train a little bit, kind of take a little bit easy and then ramp it up again for the end of the season. And so far it's worked out pretty well. So, we've got some kids running really fast, and on the other side, on the shorter distance sides, especially on the track, we really tried to sort of establish some of our sprint game. We've always had strong hurdlers, but, we kind of the last few years have been lacking in some of the, the 100, 200 type stuff. So I spent a lot of time, my coach spent a lot of time in the off season, really tried to cultivate, go on campus, recruit some of the kids from other sports, like football, soccer, basketball, and just kind of trying to get some kids out, get them excited about track and field. And so far it's starting to pay off. So we're starting to kind of see some of our early and off season work start to pay off right now. It's kind of exciting.
It's always been one of those things where, football players go and run track when it's not football season. Do you see other sports that naturally lend their talent to track and field when they're not in season? They're able to participate in track and field?
Oh yeah. So, I mean, there's always a little bit of a time conflict in today's day and age with club sports, and a lot of the kids, especially the top ones, are doing kind of like year round stuff. So we also have to be kind of flexible, but really a lot of times we see a lot of crossover with boys and girls soccer, both all the way from, the middle distances, the mile on down to the 100. So it kind of, sort of with soccer players, they're already running so much during their game that fitness just kind of both, it kind of goes back and forth with like the type of training we do can help their fitness in soccer, and their fitness in soccer already kind of sets them up to be good at track and field. Right. So it's sort of, it's funny, especially something with soccer, to kind of delve in that a little bit. I always tell parents when they're, talking about, the young kids, if they're always asking, hey, I got a son or daughter that I think might be, a really good runner, and they're in like, fourth or fifth grade, I'm like, what do you think I should do? My whole thing is like, hey, if they like it, they should play soccer. Because one of the things is with running, especially, it can be kind of intense. It's not the most fun sport, like, a lot of the ball sports are to play. Okay. And, a lot of times, the kid's attention span, it's just a little tough to have them just, go for a run or do a track workout. But when you incorporate things like soccer, where they're already running, they're doing that activity, but they're having fun. They're playing a game. They're learning to race, essentially, you know, to the ball, stuff like that. It really kind of lends itself over great. And then things like, you know, football, you know, a lot of those boys, they're just, you know, a lot of them are into speed with, if they're, you know, more like the running back or the defensive backs.
Yeah.
And so it lends up, the athleticism lends itself perfectly. And then also with, you know, O-line and D-line, those guys are great throwers. You know, they're just the big, strong guys that can just, you know, huck, you know, the disc and the shot. And then also, you know, sometimes in basketball on the side, you know, basketball, they have, you know, we have long jumpers, triple jumpers, high jumpers, all sorts of stuff like that. So, you know, it's really one of those things, like you could take the fall and the winter sports, and the spring is sort of, you know, and like I said, you know, it's a little difficult because we always have to kind of manage our practice schedule with their off-season schedules. Cause sure, you know, it's one of those things, track for a lot of kids, track is kind of like a secondary sport, but they can, you know, well, and that's, at least that's how we get them. Sometimes they come in thinking track's my secondary sport, and by their senior year, they're like, okay, this is actually my best sport. And then sometimes they end up going to college to play there. And other times they're kind of using it to help them facilitate their other sport, which is great because they can always contribute to our success, and they have fun, and they're, you know, they work hard. So it's just kind of one of those things that we sort of, it's just a lot of crossover from a lot of the fall and winter sports that help lend itself in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, some people are born runners, I suppose. You know, it's a gift that some people are given to be able to run fast,
yeah,
or be able to run distances. Obviously, training, a big part of it, but it's, you know, when I talk to coaches, and I'll ask you the same question here, it seems the mental aspect of this sport is just as important as the physical aspect. And sometimes it's those mental barriers that you need to get past that present the biggest challenges for runners.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I always tell people, it's kind of interesting, like, you know, everybody can run, you know, a dog's chasing you or your house is on fire. Almost everybody, obviously, no, not everybody, but, you know, lots of people can run, especially when they're young, but they don't tend to realize that running in of itself a skill. So when you have some of those like natural talents, it's usually the kids that just seem to sort of have a knack, a great stride. They know how to use their arms. They're just running well, but anybody can improve their fitness. Anybody can get faster. And it's a lot of times it's those kids that take that approach, whether it's distance runners, it might take, you know, a couple seasons and it might not see those gains, but if you're just sitting there, you're doing the volume, you're doing the miles, it's going to pay off barring any type of injury. Even with sprinters, I mean, sprinters, a lot of people say, you know, a lot of times you're sort of born with speed, but anybody can develop, you know, you can, wherever you're at today, you can get faster later on. So it's not like, you know, just because you're not the fastest guy or you're not born with like this incredibly, you know, explosive speed, yeah, that you can't develop faster speed. And it's the same way with everything else. But a lot of times what we look for are kids that, well, we don't look for them, but what we like to see are kids that almost, they have this knack for liking to work hard. Whether it's, you know, sort of a little bit ego driven, they like to compete, they like to win, and that's what kind of what fuels it, or they just sort of enjoy the discipline of getting up and running and working hard and just kind of feel good, you know. You'll see that a lot. That tends to be a few stages I notice when we're training kids and we're developing them from freshman to senior year, yeah, is they kind of go through a development of, we really need to push them because they don't, that, you know, they think they know what hard work is, and they kind of are exploring that in and of themselves. Like, what do I really, like, how far, what is my actual limit? So you push them, then they kind of buy into it and it clicks and they get to that next level where it's okay, I don't necessarily need to be pushed, but like, I'm still like kind of doing my thing. And then that's when they start to race and compete, learn the sport, you know, beyond just, I'm just going to run hard and run fast. It's sort of like, you know, how is it scored? How does the season play out? All the kind of strategy stuff. They get really into it. So they kind of, you know, start, you know, looking at rankings and learn other runners' names, other teams, right. What does it take to get to different races, all that kind of stuff. And then there's that third phase, which is kind of like the more towards the end of the phase, where that's where as a coach, you have some of these kids that are very talented and hardworking, and you as a coach almost have to sometimes pull them back. Mm-hmm. So they go from, you need to push them, to everything's, then they're kind of teaching them the sport. So you're pushing them how to work hard. Then you're teaching the sport, and then you're kind of getting that next level, that sort of like that level where it's like, okay, listen, sometimes you're gonna have to slow down a little bit. You know, where they go from, I need to work hard every single day, to, okay, you know, we don't want to overtrain now. We don't want to have to be going all the time. Not every single race needs to be the fastest race you've ever run, you know, like, so it kind of goes in those different stages. And that last stage, sometimes that's sort of where you fine tune things. And the kids, you know, they're highly motivated and hardworking. And sometimes it's like, hey, you know, today's a recovery run. You're running pretty hard. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you had a hard workout yesterday. You're going to have a hard workout tomorrow. That's sort of the last sort of step. They understand the sport. Now they are really kind of getting to delve into like the real kind of physiology of themselves and humans. And one of my favorite things about that actually is it lends sort of into life in general, where it's sort of like, listen, sometimes when it's time to work, it's time to work, but you also need to recover and you need to take care of yourself and you need to, you know, kind of take that time to sort of sit back, catch your breath and, you know, let your body recover, whether it's mentally or physically. So it kind of happens in those stages.
Nutrition, hydration, all these things play a big role as well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the hydration is pretty straightforward and simple. You just tell them to drink a lot of water and they kind of get that. They kind of, you know, but like, and nutrition is a little bit more complex just because it's sort of the kids, especially in high school, this is the first time maybe in their life where they're actually starting to like take ownership of that, where, you know, before their parents were always feeding them. And you know, if they had a choice, it was sort of like, you know, they're going to the vending machines and getting candy and soda and stuff. And I'm just like, hey, how about this? Instead of doing that, let's eat something a little bit more healthy. Let's make sure we're getting our protein. Carbs aren't bad, especially with the distance runners. You know, the calories, you need more calories. You don't want to skimp on your calories, you guys. And you're going to have to probably eat a little bit more than you want to. And we also see a little bit of maturity too, where kids are coming out of that like younger phase, becoming young adults. And they're like, well, I don't like vegetables. And I'm like, okay, well, eat them anyways. Like, you know, like it's sort of like, you know, if you're sick, you have to take your medicine. Okay. Well, if you want to be nutritious, you're going to have to eat some of this food. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, you have to be miserable there, but like explore it, you know, take a little bit of time. But definitely one of the hardest things with kids these days, I don't even know if it's these days, it's always, and with people in general, is the sleep aspect. Sleep is something I pound that drum all the time. You guys got to get your sleep. It goes back into the recovery thing. I'm like, this is when you're literally going to, like, kids think they're going to get faster and stronger in a workout. And I tell them, no, this is when you're making yourself weaker. Because literally from the beginning to the end of the workout, you just made yourself weaker. Now you're exhausted. Now you're tired. When are you going to get stronger? You're going to get stronger when you go to sleep. And you're going to get stronger, whether it's for school and cognition, whether it's for physical and getting faster and stronger and growing, especially at this time when they're, you know, kids are going through puberty and they're growing, you know, they haven't grown this much since they were like 1 and 2 years old, you know, and they won't grow again like this. I'm like, there's a lot going on inside of your body. Plus the social emotional aspect of it with stress of friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, parents, colleges, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, guys, sleep, you need it. And it's one of the best. It's a secret weapon. The more sleep you get, the better. And that stuff, because they do have school, they do have homework, they've got social lives. So, you know, that's in and of itself sort of a discipline. You know, you teach the running or the training or the throwing and the lifting. That's the physical discipline. Then there's the other types of disciplines, like you got to get your recovery, you got to get your sleep. Hey, how's your time management? You're having too much issues. You know, you're having to stay up every single night with schoolwork. Is there a way we can work this out? You're spending a lot of time on your phone too. Have you noticed that? You're doing a lot of video games and like YouTube and stuff. Like how much of that time could be devoted to sleep? You know, like, so it's kind of one of those things sort of like kind of having these kids level up. Like, you were a child. Right. Now you're a teenager becoming a young adult. You're not an adult yet, but like, now is the time to sort of take those steps towards, you know, that kind of discipline.
Because you stood in these kids' shoes 20 years ago, right? You know, you were you were a running star at Santa Margarita. You've been down this road yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You completely did. You know, obviously kids know you know, your story and where you're at. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to relate to the kids? Do they relate to you better because they know, hey, you've done this. You did this path and you did it very successfully at this school.
It helps, you know, to kind of just be able to point up to the boards and go, well, you know, that's my name right there. Right. Like, but the biggest thing I tell them is not even necessarily my success. I'm like, guys, I learned a lot of this because I already made mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, I know because I made the mistakes. I was there. I know that you shouldn't be, this wisdom I gained was because I fell on my face a few times, you know, like I tripped up here and there. So like, I know, and I know what it's like, of course, you know, so that was one of the biggest things I kind of take into it is kind of, having been through those steps, I kind of relate back to them. I'm like, hey, listen, I know what it's like. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to feel like. I know what it's like to lose. I know what it's like to win. I know what it's like to, you know, have that, like, you know, the fear of missing out when everyone's, you know, going to the movie theaters or staying up late and playing video games. You're like, I got to go to sleep, or, you know, they're going to that, you know, that party with their friends, or they're going to prom or something. I'm like, I get it. You know, that's not necessarily, you know, it's not an easy thing, especially for a kid, but it's also one of those things where sort of like, if you want to be special, if you want to do something special and you want to be different, you're going to have to do things differently, you know? And so that's kind of one of the general things I sort of try to teach them. Like, hey guys, like, you know, you're not just a high school kid. Your goals aren't to just be a high school kid. The goals are to be a high school athlete and you want to be a champion, or you want to, you know, and not even necessarily if you want to be a champion, you want to get your personal best. You want to do better than you yourself have ever done. Well, you have to do things a little differently. You know, so they got to kind of manage your expectations on that too.
Right. I feel track and field is unique into itself in a sport because it's, I think it's the only sport where boys and girls are on the same team performing simultaneously at the same time, right? It's really one team, even though it's kind of two separate in a way. And then also from the coaching aspect, you're the head coach, but so many of your other coaches are so important. I mean, you have one of the best distance running coaches around in Martin Dugard. You can't be at every event at every time coaching these kids, the discus coach and the shot and the jumping coaches. I mean, it's all so important to keep everything together. And it's almost organized chaos when you see these meets, right? And it's really unique unto itself.
No, our team would not be successful. My program would be nowhere where it was without my assistant coaches. My assistant coaches are really kind of, I do a lot of work on the computer and in the admin side. And I kind of facilitate everything, but they're the ones that are the nuts and bolts. And it's funny, me and some other head coaches, we have a text thread, and at the end of big meets, we'll start texting each other, all of our little, like, you know, we, from our Apple Watch, we can see how much we walked. And we're walking anywhere from like in one meet from like 7 to 9 miles, you know? So it's like, we're all over the place. And my assistant coaches get to be there the whole meet at the high jump. They get to be there for all the shot put. They get to be there for all the pole vault, you know? So where I am just running around kind of checking in on things, watching some of the bigger events, some of the more, you know, I'm a distance coach by my history. So I'll kind of be working in, more exclusively with some of the milers and the 2 milers like that. But then I'll go over and, you know, make sure I'm watching the 4x1, but it's my coach who's on the field. It's my sprint coaches who are on the field, sort of giving their last minute preps and stuff like that. But no, yeah, the assistant coaches. And when you find an assistant, a great assistant coaches, you hold on to them for a long time. The people that buy into your program, to your philosophy, work with the kids and know what they're talking about. It's one of the more valuable things. And my assistant coaches, I love my assistant coaches. So they make it so that my program is good, but then also, you know, like with me and my life, like it gives me some ability to sort of take a step back. I got 2 young kids. I have a 7-month-old and a 4-year-old, and I can't be, you know, can't be showing up at, you know, at school at 6 a.m. and going home at 7 p.m. It's all the time. So, you know, and they make it possible so that I don't have to do that all the time. So
sometimes people don't think about that. Coaches have lives too, right? I mean, the life of a coach is crazy. And it's like, wait a minute, you have a home life as well?
yeah, I know. Well, it's crazy too, because track and field, unlike other sports where you might have like the varsity practice and then the JV practice.
Yeah.
You have the varsity game, the JV. It's like we have one track meet and we have one big practice. So you have not just the boys and girls, it's all levels. So we have, you know, about 150-ish kids on the program. And from 2:45 till about 4:30, we're all on the track. And so sometimes it's like a total circus, but it's the assistant coaches that kind of help. It helps you keep everything kind of under control, but they also helps the kids keep accountability, because there's no way I could be watching over 140 kids and make sure everyone's, you know, there, working hard, not goofing off, you know, all the disciplinary aspects of it too, but also just, you know, make sure the kids are also getting their value out of it, you know, because in private schools, you know, the kids, we pay fees to be this sport. So I want to make sure that they're also, you know, their parents are also getting that value out of it, you know, so it makes everything run so much smoother.
Because you're part of an athletic department that's been so successful, you know, award winning, you know, awards given about how good the Santa Margarita athletic program has become. You've got nationally ranked teams, Southern section ranked teams all across the board. You feel, and then the kids feel, hey, I want to be part of that too. Right? I want to be part of that success, that culture within the school.
Oh yeah. I mean, you walk into our athletic department, you just have on the wall, all the CF championships and then all the, along the top, all the state championships. And you kind of walk in and you go, okay, this is a place where, you know, we work hard, we strive hard, but we also expect to win. So yeah.
The Trinity League is crazy good, right? I mean, you know, you've got Jay Sarah, you've got, you know, Southridge County itself. I mean, it's a hotbed of track and field, into itself. But, this league, just top to bottom, just so many great athletes in it, as we know. And to win a league championship in anything really means something.
Oh yeah. You know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of, as long as the kids are buying in, you know, and track and field's interesting because a lot of times for most of the kids, the first time they do track and field is in high school. So it's not like, you know, in basketball, if they're playing basketball in high school, they probably started when they were younger. Same with football, soccer, baseball, all those sports. Track and field, it's like their freshman year, maybe their sophomore year. They're like, this is my first year ever doing this. So it's not just sort of like getting them in shape and teaching them, like, what do I expect? How do I start in the blocks? You know, how do I do the 4x1? But it's also like, how is this game scored? Like, how does a team win? Like, I understand how somebody wins a race. They run faster than everybody else. but how are we going to win as a team? And I'm like, okay, well, a lot of times simply just teaching the kids that stuff, mm-hmm. they understand what's going on, you know, throughout a 3-4 hour track meet. They can, or, you know, sometimes, you know, if it's an invitational 5 or 6, but they kind of understand, they're like, oh, okay. So like them understanding that kind of gives them a bigger picture of what's going on. And they can actually, I think a lot of times just teaching the kids how that kind of stuff works goes a long way with getting them to sort of buy in. And once you get that buy-in, they can do pretty impressive stuff.
I get the kid who can run fast and says, hey, you know, I want to run faster than everybody else. Who's the kid that decides, hey, you know what? That pole looks like fun. I want to be a pole vaulter.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of crazy. I always tell people a funny story. I'm like, you know, I always feel like the pole vaulters are kind of a little crazy because, you know, they're jumping up high. We have,
you gotta be,
you know,
right?
Oh man. You know, and I remember, you know, back when I was in high school, I think it was in high school or towards right when I was in college, right after I left high school, like California for a little bit was like toying around with the idea of having to wear helmets when he jumped and stuff like that. And I was just like, I mean, I get it. Like these kids are launching themselves anywhere from like, you know, 10 to 16 feet in the air, you know, on the high end for the boys. And I'm just like, that's pretty high up there, especially when you watch it in person, you know, you can hear that and you go, that's cool. And then you look at it in person, you're like, oh, whoa, that's going pretty
right?
high up. And
it's true.
They're going upside down and then flying back on their back. I'm just like, okay. Anyway, and some kids see that and they're like, that looks really exciting. You know, they kind of have that little like crazy streak in them. And I'm like, yeah, hey, go for it. You know, go for it. It's going to be fun. You know, we'll teach you. We got to make sure you're safe and we know exactly what's going on. But man, yeah, go for it. Kind of have some fun.
You got kids setting school records this year. Zach Gibson's one of those kids, right? You got, yep. You know, on the girls' side, you know, great performances as well. What's next from the team aspect? What are we looking up? Because I know there's so many different meets, and then from a league, and then obviously beyond that, the idea is obviously to get up to Clovis, you know, at the end of the season as well.
Yeah. So I mean, this weekend we have a few kids doing a few meets, just kind of trying to improve some of their marks for Arcadia. So the big kind of like focus right now is going to be end of Easter break. We got Arcadia. That's kind of at the time of the season when sort of like we talk about early season meets and there's a certain amount of importance put onto them. But really the stuff that really counts, we tell people that stuff you're going to remember that we call it the championship season, or kind of what I say is like, this is the time of the season when before this workouts are more important than racing. So, you know, if we're going to run a little bit harder than we normally would, and it might sacrifice how fast we can run some of the races. Well, that's because it's early. This is when sort of the races starts to become more important than the training. And Arcadia kind of is that spot. So we got Arcadia coming up. See what we can do there. It's always fun for the kids. Really good exposure. Really good excitement. Especially when we have new kids or kids that haven't kind of been there. They kind of go to a meet like that with the excitement and the atmosphere, and they're like, oh wow, like look at this crowd, look at the streaming, look at all the lights, and you know, okay, you know, like they kind of are like, oh, it gets them kind of excited, like this is cool. But then we have Orange County. We'll see kind of what we're doing there. We're really excited with some of our younger runners. So kind of Orange County, we might be looking at kind of going after maybe a boys Frosch Soft title and see what we can do. And then with individuals in the varsity title, obviously we want to, you know, take a look. You know, Zach's got some aspirations to kind of do some damage at Orange County. And then our other boys, you know, like races like that, where, you know, they just want to try and get in fast races and get some PRs. And then, you know, we have Orange County, and then after that, it's league finals. So that's, you know, there's not much left as far as like the big meets, but, league finals, and then of course the postseason, and then the postseason, CF prelims, CF finals, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, see who's left standing after CF finals and, you know, kind of get some kids to make it to Masters and hopefully get a shot to get to state.
Yeah. So much fun, to see it, to progress. And, you obviously want to be running your best or doing your best in your event at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously the idea is to, and as you mentioned, kind of pacing yourself, knowing when to pull back, knowing when to give it all, right? So you can get there at the end.
Oh yeah. Well, I tell kids a lot. I'm like, health is more important than fitness. And they kind of look at me like, what do you mean? And I go like, well, health is a feeling. Fitness is a performance. Let's look at it that way. Like your fitness is going to determine how fast, like, you know, like you can gauge your fitness by how fast you can run.
Yeah.
Your health is going to be how you feel. Now, you could be the fittest person in the world, and then the night before you roll your ankle and you can't race. Well, the next day you're still the fittest person in the world, but you're not running fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that I, again, coming into the whole sleep thing, I'm like, and the recovery thing, I'm like, you guys, like you're working really hard. The last thing we need is an injury. Nothing can derail it faster than an injury. And it's, you know, it's demoralizing. It's painful. It's sometimes it's time consuming. So yeah, that's kind of one of those things where it's just sort of like, let's really take care of ourselves, and let's have an eye on the bigger picture of the end of the season. Because that's what, you know, coming to the end of the season, you might have run really, really fast early on, but if we're disappointed at the end of the season, that's the most recent memory we have. That's what we're going to remember. So we, and you know, and that's also kind of, you know, when you win the championships, you get the plaques, you get the rings, you get that kind of stuff. So, you know, we really want to be there at the end. That's kind of where our focus is always at the very end. And our training is always geared towards that. So, you know, this, we're kind of April, May is kind of, well, definitely May, but April is kind of when we really start to kind of get into that part of the season.
We're excited to see just how many athletes from Santa Margarita are going to be there at the end. And we thank you, Coach, for the time. Yeah, right? Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Right? Keeping everybody, in prayers and hopefully everybody stays healthy and gets that chance to compete. Coach, we appreciate the time and we'll talk to you soon. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, man. God bless.
Yeah, same to you. That's Mike Powers, the head track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic. And my thanks once again to Mike Powers, head track and field coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. So much more to go. As I said at the top of the show, we got a long way to go. The Boers Classic coming up in baseball. We got some good softball. And of course, you know, track and field is going to carry us through. We got tennis and we got lacrosse. So much more to go. Swimming. We haven't even talked much swimming yet, but a lot of things going on there. So we're going to get to it all because it's the Trinity League, right? And we got so many great athletes. We need to hit week after week and we have so much fun doing it here. And we're going to get there and talk to so many more of them. So keep it right here on Catholic Sports View. We are the podcast of record for the Trinity League. And of course, as always, we are brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Orange. I thank you again for tuning in. I am Bob Gibson. Have a great week, and we'll see you right back here next week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View, exploring where athletics meets faith, a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. Tell a friend about this podcast and be sure to share on your social media platforms. We'll catch up with you again next week, right here on Catholic Sports View.